Father God, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and purpose. But Father, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that most of all, we'll take that word and we'll take that word of Jesus Christ and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and we'll share the love of Jesus with people who are down and out, people who are hurting, people who are going through tough times. We thank you, Father, to help us to share that love of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, Father, right now as we come to study your word. We thank you. We come not in our own strength. We come not in your own might. We come not in your own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you today as we go to speak the word that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you most of all for that anointing. That anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that's here that saturates us, that anointing that changes us in an instant, we thank you for it now. And Father God, we thank you right now for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. We thank you for mom and dad this week as they're getting some rest and relaxation. We thank you, Father, that they're getting fired up and filled up and ready to go again. We thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. I mean, it's just so awesome. You know, I don't know how people make it without being centered around Jesus Christ. You know, he is the center of our joy. Amen. We talked about that a few weeks ago. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to a scripture most of you probably know. Mark the 9th chapter and the 23rd verse. You know, many times in life as we're facing, you know, trials, situations, circumstances, you'll hear people say stuff like, well, that's impossible. There's no way that can happen. Or maybe you have some financial situations. You're like, well, there's no way. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I know the world says where there's a will, there's a way. But the Bible says only believe. Now, what's interesting part about this is something that many people don't think about. And many people who read this verse don't even think about. Because the first part of this verse, I'm reading from the New King James, says, Jesus said to him, understand, these were the words of Jesus. Because I've heard many people say, well, Brother Hagin, you know, that Brother Hagin says this, or Brother so-and-so. No, this is what Jesus said. You understand? This was Jesus Christ who said these words. You know, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with many things the Apostle Paul, you know wrote, and we believe those. But this was Jesus himself, you know, walking on the earth. And so, you know, sometimes that we need to realize, sometimes we read the Bible, but don't realize this is Jesus talking. This is what he was telling us we need to do. And he said these words, if you can believe, understand, you realize, really, it's about you. What can you do? You know, in a situation that looks impossible, what can you do about it? You can believe. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So really, Jesus was saying, you know what? Just believe. Just believe. Now, I have found out that it's more easier said than done. Because the more you start believing, the more you have people tell you, it's impossible. There is no way. Has anybody been there? You know, when you're facing, especially maybe a financial situation or maybe a health situation, and there, you know, it seems like, you know, And you know, we're all human. You know, we get to a point and we're like, yeah, we got our faith set and everything. All of a sudden, somebody else tells us it's impossible again. Or someone tells us there is no way. But Jesus said, if I believe. You know, that's one thing my grandfather always says. You know, he says that God says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. You know, if we can't believe what Jesus said, if we can't believe what God says, what can we believe? All right, but Jesus said, just believe. That's all he said. He was just believe. And he said, when you do, all things. Now, all things is an all-encompassing word that you know, says everything. you know, well, what is everything? Well, what do I need? You know, this is for everything you need, but not just what you need, but what you desire. You know, I've heard people say, well, brother, that the Lord will meet your needs, but your wants are something different. Well, the Bible says he gives us the desires of our heart. It says what things soever we desire. It doesn't say whatsoever things he desires us to have. It says whatever things we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we shall have them. And so what we don't realize a lot of times that it's determining upon what we believe and how we believe. Not whether God's going to do it for us. It's do we believe? And at some point in time, you're going to have to decide you're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. And when you decide you're going to believe, you need to be as stubborn as you are the rest of your life. I know that some of you here are probably pretty stubborn people. You know, and you know, if you're married, you talk to your husband or wife, and they'll probably tell you, yeah, you're double stubborn. But, I wish that some of us would get as stubborn about the Word of God as we do about things. You know, it's interesting, you know, I know a lot of people when it comes to things in life or facts or whatever. I mean, you know, this is the way it was. I mean, it happened that way, and you can't tell them any different. You know, even whenever you go to Google and show them that it really didn't happen that way. Oh, no, I was there. It did happen that way. You know, they're trying to, you know, they don't even believe, you know, what's written. You know, but it's interesting because sometimes we're not as stubborn about the Word of God. You know, and the reason we're not is not because we're trying to not be stubborn. It's because we have a devil that's there to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And every time that we get on track, he tries to knock us off the track. You know, I mean, some of you, maybe you ladies didn't have it, but most of you guys probably remember the little slot car, race car tracks. Anyone ever have one of those when they're a kid? I used to have all kinds of them. And, you know, you get going real good, and all of a sudden something would happen, and you go through a corner and so forth, and your car would just fly off the track. Well, that's what happens sometimes with the devil. You know, everything's going great, going smoothly. All of a sudden, bam, something hits you, and you just fly off the track. And then some, you know, now, whenever your car flies off the track, then if you, that was always, you know, because usually when I'm playing, I was always sitting down, wouldn't stand up. So then I got to get up, go over here to the other side, and over here, pick it back up, and put it back on the track. But see, that's what we have to do sometimes. If we get knocked off the track, you know what? So what? We got knocked off. Get back up and get back on the track. All right, but some people, what happens is when they get knocked off the track, we lay over here just complaining. Well, you know, God's just mad at me and this. God's not mad at you. God just wants you to decide, hey, it's up to you whether it happens or not, because it's if you can believe. So Jesus put it back and said, you know what, sir? If you can believe, you shall receive. But it's up to you. It's not up to me. And that's when it comes with the things of God, it's really up to you. Can you believe? And that's a question we need to ask. You know, it's really easy to say, oh yeah, no problem, I can believe. Well, I don't want to know right now. I want to know whenever you're facing your worst situation and everything it seems is coming against you. It seems that every wave that can hit you is hitting you. And it seems that you're Mr. Murphy's Law, you know, with everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Can you believe then? Because, see, that's when you have to believe the Word of God. It's easy to stand here and all get all excited. We sing songs and we get all excited. But can you believe when you're facing your worst situation that you ever thought you would ever face? Can you still believe? Because that's what's going to determine whether you make it through or not. Because it's easy to be a Christian when you hang around a bunch of Christians and all we do. But you know what? You know, we don't all go home with you every night. I found out, you know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes when you're facing a situation when you turn the TV off and when you know no one's talking and it's silent, you know, and then the devil starts saying, well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, there's no way. And that's when you have to, the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee from us. So we have to say, I mean, I speak up. And I guess I learned this from my grandfather and from my dad. I just say, devil, you have no right. See, we have to understand our authority because we have a good book there, Believer's Authority. Our authority, we have the authority to say, in the name of Jesus, you have no right, you have no authority. You have no authority, because I know what God's word says. And God's word says, if I can believe that all things, doesn't matter how tough it seems. I mean, I understand. Well, sometimes, maybe you have a lot of bills. Maybe you have a lot of situations you're going through. Maybe it's a sickness. You know what? Doesn't matter what it is. It's included in the word all. All. What is all? Just like all things are possible? All things. Everything. And sometimes whenever I've been facing a situation, I talk out loud a lot of times. Sometimes I don't say it out loud, but sometimes I think it out loud or whatever. And someone says, well, but, the devil tries to put a butt on you. Well, but this and but that, I said, this is covered under all. You understand, we have an all-inclusive insurance policy. Everything's included. Now your actual insurance policy, if you go through, there's a lot of fine print. Most of you might have figured out you don't have earthquake insurance unless you actually bought it, and it's hard to even buy because we keep having earthquakes around here for whatever reason, And so there's a lot of things, if you go through your policy, you think you might have and you really don't have. But when it comes to Jesus, you have it all. It doesn't matter what hits you. It doesn't matter how hard it seems. It doesn't matter that it seems that there's no way. Because we serve a God of a way. All right? Now, if my dad has ever signed your Bible or has ever given an autograph, then he puts beside it a scripture that is his favorite scripture. And we're going to turn there. And it's over in Luke chapter 18. Goes along the same lines. Luke, the 18th chapter, the 27th verse. And anytime my dad signs his name, he always signs this scripture. I mean, you don't write scroll scripture, but he'll just say Luke 18, 27. It says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So with God, all things are possible. So you know what? I've had many people that have, that have challenged me to put the scripture to test. Because they'll use the word, well, Craig, that's impossible. And I said, well, I have scripture for that. I have the impossible scripture. When it looks like it's impossible to man, I'm just a mere man, and maybe I don't see a way, because it doesn't depend on what I see. And that's what we have to understand. We're not depending on what we see with our natural eyes or natural ears and our natural understanding, because in the natural, it might seem impossible. But, we're not here to seem. We're here to know. All right? It might seem impossible, but what I know that with God, and I'm with God. I'm not sure about you. How many are with God? See, it's not about me. It's about God. My situation is just believing. All right? God's going to have to figure this out. And that's the deal. We have to get to the point. It was like, God, you figure it out. I'm just going to believe you. All right? Because with you, all things are possible. It might look impossible to me, and I might look at it and say, man, it's impossible. It just, it doesn't seem like, I went to college. I have a degree. I have an accounting degree. So when it comes to finances, I know when it looks impossible sometimes. I get it. And it looks like, well, this is my income. This is what I owe, and it's a rate of my income. Then by the time I'm 1,532 years old, I'll be out of debt. Some of you might feel like that. All right, I'm not going to get you to have you raise your hand or anything, but some of you, and I get it. Hopefully you're not going to be a million years old, but some of you, you feel that we say, well, I'd like to be out of debt, but I'm paying as much as I can, but I owe this and I owe that and I owe that. No, it doesn't matter what you owe. You say, but I only make this. See, here's the deal. You're going to have to start trusting in God. You're going to have to decide. It's not about what I see. It's not about what I feel. It's not about my impossibility. But thank God I serve a possible God. That with God all things are possible, and they're possible because I believe. Now what do I believe? Well, that comes back to my favorite scripture. If I were signing your Bible, I'm going to put Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. So my belief is only in God. You know, and when things happen, you know, I've told many people, I said, you know what, I don't care what anybody says. You know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not even getting better, it's getting worse. I mean, you know, at one point I had this and this, and now I have this and other things. And if, you know, I just say, so what? You know, sometimes all you can do is laugh because you want to cry. But see, when my faith is in God, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to do what it says over in James, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of situations and circumstances and temptations and trials. And, you know, because it doesn't matter what it looks like around me, because I'm not looking with my own eyes. I mean, you know, it's not about what I see. It's about what I know. And I know that I serve an impossible God. And I don't mean impossible to serve, you know, because some people think, well, you know, some people think it's hard to serve God. It's not hard to serve God. It's easy. All right, but and the deal is what most Christians are trying to do is they're trying to figure out and help God. They're trying to come up with some solution. I get it. You know, we're educated people, and educated people try to come up with a solution. But sometimes you can't find a solution. You know, and sometimes actually the easiest problem is when you can't, if there's no way to get your own solution, you know, because then you have to depend on God. Because sometimes, you know, if the solution is work 3 jobs for the rest of your life, well, that's okay, I'll do it. But that's not living life more abundantly, is it? So that's anti the word of God, if you want to know the truth of the matter, because Jesus said that he came that we might live life and have it more abundantly. An abundant life is not working 3 jobs and never being around your kids or never being around anybody, or you never can date, you never can marry, you can never, because you're working all the time. It's not abundant life. An abundant life, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm all for working extra hard sometimes whenever, we, you know, there are situations, you know, God said you'll bless what we put our hand to. So I'm okay for working. I don't think you need to work 3 jobs for the rest of your life. I tell people, you know what? It's okay to maybe take a second job for a short time while you're trusting God. You know, but you know, say this, you know, you need to decide this is only temporal. Because either I'm going to get a raise in my other job or something's going to happen. You know what? My faith is not in my job either. You know, I only have so much income coming into my job, you know, and some of you might have, you can work overtime or whatever, and that's good too, you know, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I mean, I know when my wife was facing situations before we were married, that she had somebody that she didn't even know, her mom didn't even know, and she, this person didn't even know she existed. It's just somebody told her to send her mom's daughter $5,000. And this lady was not living out in California, didn't even know, you know, anything. And so sent it to her mom. So this is for your oldest daughter. So you know, and it was just what she needed to meet the need that she'd been praying for. I mean, you know, this lady didn't even know that her mom had an oldest daughter, didn't know who the oldest daughter was, didn't know anything about it. I mean, this person didn't know anyone, you know, it showed my wife, you know what, you're not dependent upon your job. You know, you understand, we live in a world with cable television that we have so many channels, we don't even know what's even on anymore. You know, but you know what? Our God has more sources than we have channels. All right? You know, and if God has to talk to someone from around the world, some Chinese guy, you know, and you know, somehow, some way, I mean, you know, we live in a global world now. I mean, some guy you don't ever know, he can do it. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, that's our God. We serve a possible God. Now, I'm not saying he's going to make me, you know, that way, but I'm saying he could. Because, you know, I found out that a lot of times whenever people are facing financial challenges, if they happen to have somebody in their family, you know, that's a little more wealthy, they almost put their faith in that person is going to bless them. But that, you know, why would you put your faith in one person? Do you know how many billions of people that live in this world? I mean, there's billions of people that God could use. Well, but I don't know those people. It doesn't matter who you know. It's not about who you know. If it's about who you know, then it would be about you. It's not even about you. It's about putting your faith in God and his power and his ability. And because it's about me putting my faith in God. And you know what? When I put my faith in God, it doesn't look impossible because, you know, most people realize that our God has done impossible things. Do you realize that? I mean, most people, you know, in fact, if you want to, I mean, you know, sometimes maybe just look up. See the sky, see the birds, see, unfortunately, we don't really have mountains really around here. You know, I'm more of a beach guy. You know, I like the warm weather. In fact, it was 88 degrees. We're driving here, we're in Chandler, and looked at the temperature. 88 degrees, almost 90 degrees. I mean, that's awesome weather. All right? I think that's awesome weather. Some of you are like, well, I like to be 30 again. Well, move. All right. Move to Antarctica. You know, then you can have cold weather. You and the penguins can hang out quite a bit, you know. And of course, it's colder than 30 in Antarctica, by the way. Anyway, but if you like snow, then don't live in Oklahoma. You know, so, yeah, because you don't get much. If you like tornadoes, you're at the right place. People say, all the time, it's funny. I'm sure you guys do the same thing. People laugh and said, well, I saw that movie Twister. Is it really like that? I said, yeah, except for you can't really hang on to a pole, when cows are going like crazy and that really does happen. Cows and semis or whatever, holding on to a pole is probably not going to cut it for you. But, because people think, it's crazy that there's a semi that's getting caught up in a tornado or a cow or whatever. I said, that happens. Hold on to the pole. And thinking this, anyway, it's just kind of people realize, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. Now, you guys live around here, so we all know that it really happens. But, there in the Tulsa campus, we have people that come from all over the world, and they ask us about tornadoes. It's interesting when they come to school. It's interesting to their first tornado season, hear people freaking out. I mean, other day people freaking out said, hey, there's a tornado watch. I said, that happens all the time. A watch does not mean it's the warning that you need to worry about. Watch just means it's tornado time. The warnings are a little tougher, but it doesn't matter because our faith is in God. We can speak to tornadoes. We can, my mom does it all the time. She's, my mom is is praised for the weather all the time. And God always answers her prayer, just like he'll answer your prayer too, but you just don't pray for it. Or you don't believe. That's the thing. We have to believe. What do you believe? And that's really up to it. What can you, because Jesus, remember, this is Jesus saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. It's the thing is, you have to really believe. And it's easy, like I said, it's easy to believe at church. But can you believe when everything's going wrong? Everything. That's when you have to believe. You say, well, how do you do that? Because your faith is not in yourself. It's not in, see, your faith shouldn't be in, you're going to figure this thing out. It's in God, that God's going to allow you to figure this thing out through his help and through his, through leading you and guiding you and showing you the way. And you say, but it looks hard. It looks impossible. It looks like there is no way, but it's not about what it looks. I want you to turn to a scripture that we all have read. Psalms 23, and I'm going to read the whole verse, Psalm 23, because it's not very long. But I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, because a lot of times, we get a modern translation, we learn a little more. And so I want to read that, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. See, that's the thing, you need to realize you have all you need, because the Lord is your shepherd. And so, sometimes people say, they're saying, well, I don't have all I need. Well, the reason you don't have all you need, because you don't believe that the Lord's your provider. The Lord will provide everything you need if you believe. Anyway, it goes on to say, it says, he lets me. I mean, our God's so awesome. He lets me rest in the green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You know what? The first part of it, he leads me to this good place and in this great place. But you know what? Even when there is a time when everything seems dark, everything seems like it's not going to work, even in those times, we're not afraid because we have faith in God. That we know that we're just passing through. See, there's a difference in passing through and camping out. All right? And so when you face a dark valley, you need to say, Mr. Devil, I'm just passing through this situation. It's only temporal. I'm just passing through. This is not my future. This is just a rough place that I got myself into. Usually it's you getting yourself into. Sometimes someone else got you, helped you get yourself into that situation. You know, because I found that most of the time our financial difficulties because we made some bad financial choices. You know, it's just like, you know, if you get paid and you go to the grocery store and spend all your money, as soon as you get paid, well, that might sound good because you have plenty of food for a while, but you know, after a while, that might not be good because you have rent due and all this other kind of stuff due. Maybe you eat like a king, but you know, you pay for it or whatever. You know, that's why you have to worry about marketers that try to get you at the grocery store to buy stuff you don't need. And that's also why you don't bring your kids to the grocery store or go to the grocery store when you're hungry. You know, I don't know how many times my wife's been to the grocery store and I'm hungry and I'm like, I come home with all kinds of stuff that we don't even need. You know, and I definitely don't need the extra calories anyway. Nobody else in my house does either. But it looked good or it was new and I wanted to try it and I never had that before. So I wanted to see what it was like. And it was at the end of the row. You know, I was just passing through and, you know, all of a sudden something like a magnet like led me over here and, you know, I just got these. I said, if you bring kids, and the thing about it is, I personally shop at Walmart, the Supercenter. Well, they don't just have groceries, they have toys. And nothing wrong with toys. I mean, you know, but you know, you bring kids, I mean, they want toys. They look at the toy aisle, and then they're looking. I mean, you know, my granddaughter looks at me like, but Pa, I really want this. And, you know, and it would be fun, and, you know, and, you know, I don't have it. And I've been a good girl and all kinds of stuff. And it's just really hard. Anyway, so, but you know, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I mean, the worst time you can ever think about, even when you're walking through that, it says, I will not be afraid. Why? For you are close beside me. He's walking right with you. You understand, whenever you walk, you're not walking by yourself. I mean, of course, this is the Old Testament, but we know the greater one's on the inside of us. That when we're walking through our toughest time, he's walking with us. He's helping us. He's leading us. He's guiding us through that tough time. You know, and I get it. We've all faced tough times in our life. You know, tough times financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We've all done it. It's just life. But you know what? When we're doing that, we're walking with Jesus. And that's why I said I feel bad for the people who don't have Jesus. They don't know him. They're trying to walk and they're trying to figure out how they're going to do it themselves. But it's not about you doing anything, but you walking with Jesus, you trusting in Jesus, you know, just trusting in him. And it goes on to say, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. See, the Lord's looking out for you in the middle of your worst days. The Lord's still looking out for you. And you have to know that because the devil will try to tell you, you know what, where's your God now? You know, but God's right with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, but, you know, I understand we don't necessarily see him physically. And, you know, we're human beings and we look at what we see. But it's not about what you see. It's what you have to know. You have to know on the inside. You have to believe that no matter what, I'm going to keep walking. Yeah, but it looks tough and it's tough to walk. You keep walking. You keep walking. You keep moving forward. It's only temporal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Maybe you got knocked off the track a little bit. You know what? Get back and keep walking. Get back and keep walking. You know, it doesn't matter that maybe you kind of moved away because, you know, the devil was just moved you or whatever. You know what? Just get back up and keep walking. And knowing the Lord's leading you and guiding you and helping you. It goes on to say, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemy. You know what? It doesn't matter if I'm sitting right in front of the devil himself. God's preparing a feast for us. That even when we're facing the toughest times, you know what? We can eat good. And we can walk and we can have peace. It goes on to say, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. You have to understand that we are walking in the house of God, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how bad it seems, no matter that it seems that you're facing some of your darkest trials. You know what? You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. I don't care how dark it is. You know, I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I know. And my faith is in God. My faith cannot be swayed. It cannot be changed. It doesn't matter how tough it is. It doesn't matter that everybody that I ever see tells me it's impossible. See, I don't determine my faith on what everybody else says. I don't care if they're Christians or not Christians, you know, because sometimes, I mean, there are some good Christians that are trying to tell you some good facts. And I get it. I mean, you know, I understand facts. Like I said, I got an accounting degree. And in accounting, you talk about facts. You don't talk about wishes and wants. All right? But when it comes to faith, you have to overlook the facts sometimes. And I get it. Sometimes people try to speak, you know, actually, you know, factual and said, yeah, I get it. These are the facts. I mean, you know, when it comes to a physical situation, if you go and you get x-ray or MRI or a CAT scan and they show you these kind of things, that's what it shows. I get it. That's the facts. But you know what? My faith is not in that. You know, my faith is in my God. You know, and I understand what the facts are. I want to read one more thing from the New Living Translation, another verse of scriptures that you all know, Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to start, I usually, you know, go 4, 5, and 6, but I want to start with verse number 1 of Proverbs 3. And in Proverbs, it's not a real long chapter as well, but I'm going to read the first, I won't read the whole chapter, we'll read the first part of it. Verse 1 says, my child, see, you know what? Understand, this is to you. You're a child of God. This is for you. All right, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Never forget what we've learned. Never forget what we've been taught. All right, it goes on to say, store my commands in your heart. It doesn't matter, you know, I just say, I don't care what's on the paper. Understand what's in your heart. You have to know, you have to know right from wrong right down here. You have to know what you've been taught and what you believe, what you don't believe. And it goes on to say, if you do this, you will live many years. And your life will be satisfying. It's always good to live a satisfying life, isn't it? It says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then I like this verse, number 4. Then you will find favor both with God and with people. My mom, you know, she put this verse in me, you know, from a young child. Every morning whenever we would have devotions, you know, before we would go to school, you know, well, my mom would use him up, you know, it's interesting because, you know, my dad is more the minister, but my mom usually, she's more the prayer. So she usually would do the praying. And then as we got older, we would take turns praying, but we'd all say the same thing because my mom would always say, he would say, we thank you, Father, that you know, as we go out today, we're going to find favor with man as well as with God. And he said it over and over again. I mean, the two things that she would always say is we claim the 91st Psalm over all of us. We claim protection over every one of them in the family. And we thank you that we're going to find favor with man as we go about our day, just as well as we find favor. Because we know we have favor with God. All right? You know, I mean, I know I'm God's favorite person, but I know you are too, but I know I am. I mean, I really think I'm God's favorite person. I have to act like that, and you should too. You know, because they don't affect your person, but we're all his favorite. We're all so I know that my God is for me. I know he loves me. I know he's making my way straight. I know he's helping me. But the Bible says I should find favor with man just as God. You know, because I've seen people change their mind, make decisions. You know, and they're like, I don't even know why I even did that. It's because I have favor. I pray for favor every day. That God has given me favor with men, you know, because favor can forgive debt. Favor can you know, can get people jobs that I've heard people say, you know what, you're really not the most qualified person. Not even, you know, when it comes to pen and paper, you're not the best person for the job. But something I just want to hire you. It's called favor. Now do a good job. If you know, if someone ever comes on, you better do a good job. All right. But you know what? It's interesting. You know, it says we can have favor, but also it goes on to say you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. I mean, see, God wants you to earn a good reputation because we have favor. And it goes on to say, trust the Lord with all your heart. All your heart means everything. Just believe God. And it says, do not depend on your own understanding. So it doesn't matter that it looks impossible. It's not about what I understand. It's about my God. Well, I don't understand. I don't care. See, I mean, there's many times I don't understand how it's going to work. I don't understand how it might work. But you know what? You know, I'm not here to make it possible. My God is. I'm just here to believe. And that's part of not leaning to my own understanding, because many times it looks like there is no way. But it's not about what it looks like. I mean, you know, there's a lot of times that you get to the point, and, I mean, this verse, I don't understand. I live there a lot. I don't understand how it's going to work. You know, and there are many times, you know, not just in my personal life, even in my ministry life, you know, as I'm helping, you know, their ministry go to a certain situation or do a certain thing, or it looks like that we don't have the finances, look like we don't have, you know, the resources, and sometimes we don't even have the manpower. I don't understand, God, how we're going to do this, and you call us to do this. You know what? It's not about how we understand. We just go do it. Because my God will provide. My God will provide. So you have to know that if God calls you, he says he'll call you, he equips you. If he equips you, he equips me in every way. Financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way he equips me. He gives me everything I need. Because I serve a good God, and I'm his favorite. And you are too. All right, and, you know, so you should start thinking more like you're God's favorite. And if you think more like you're God's favorite, you know, there are, you know, situations, and I know, you know, your grandma shouldn't be telling you that you're her favorite, even if you really are. Okay, you know, but maybe, you know, your aunt will tell you, your aunt's really good about saying, well, you're my favorite nephew, you're my favorite niece. It just turned out, in my family, I was everybody's favorite. In fact, my grandma, my mom's mom, would tell everyone that Craig's my favorite. And so, you know, just because I am, because, you know, I'm just that kind of guy. And so, now, you know, and maybe because I was always a good kid too, that might have helped, you know. And she goes, and so I would say, Grandma, don't say that, because that's kind of mean to me. Well, it doesn't matter. Craig, you know you're my favorite. So, anyway, so. No, my grandfather never told me, but sometimes people would think that, you know, would say, well, I know you're your grandfather's favorite, and I know I was too. But he never actually told me that, but I still knew it, you know. So, but grandparents aren't supposed to have favorites or whatever, but sometimes they do. But you know what? I'm God's favorite. And the thing about what's so awesome with God is you can be his favorite too. And the thing, but, you know, I think there's something about how we act like, you know, we act different when we're someone's favorite, because, you know, we have favoritism. You know, and we've all been there, or maybe some of you, maybe you weren't really good in school, but some of you been there where you're kind of teacher's pet or whatever. I even know my son, my oldest son, he really, there's some subjects he didn't really excel in. English was one of them. And his English teacher, it's funny, actually, ninth grade English teacher, and he really struggled. And I went in one time to talk with her, and she goes, I just want to tell you, your son's my favorite one person in class. Now, he's not the best person as far as when it comes to English, but he's my favorite kid. And, you know, I know sometimes, you know, she would let him do extra credit and do other stuff because she was his favorite. You know, and I found out throughout my life that my son was really good about, my oldest son was the best, he was really good about becoming the favorite of all these teachers. They all loved him, even when maybe he wasn't the best student in the world as far as, then most, a lot of times it's because he didn't apply himself like he should, because he liked racing cars and other stuff. I mean, you know, my oldest son, you know, all through school, what's your favorite subject? Recess. You know it's just you know, he's more of a hands-on type person, you know book stuff, and so it's interesting. But you know, the English teacher is just so funny. He's my favorite kid in class. I mean, you know, I know he struggles with some of the stuff, but he's my favorite kid. You know, but you know what? God doesn't show favoritism, but you are his favorite. And you know, and see, my son knew that this teacher, she was her favorite, and he knew that sometimes, so that's some reason, sometimes he didn't apply himself because he knew that she would let him get extra credit or do this or do that or overlook some stuff or whatever. And so it was, you know, because it was one of the, it was actually a literature class where you write papers, and the paper probably wasn't as good as it probably should be, but he kind of get graded on the curve type situation because of favoritism, you know. So I said, well, thank God, Cameron, that you're her favorite, because, you know, they wasn't really that good a paper. So I read it, but anyway. So, but you know what? You are God's favorite, and we need to know. And we, you know, but we don't have to lean to our own understanding. Not about what we understand. But it says, seek His will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I mean, he'll lead us and he'll guide us. You know, and he'll help us. But it doesn't matter how things look impossible. We serve a possible God. You know, have you ever heard the term history repeats itself? You know, I've heard that term. I want to give you a little bit of history. There was a guy named Daniel. He was put in the lion's den. It seemed like it was impossible. And he came out serving God, loving God. There was a few more boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went in the fiery furnace. Seemed like it was impossible. Seemed like, I mean, even the guards that threw them in died. But they came out praising God. And it said they didn't even smell like smoke. You know, David and Goliath. I mean, here's a guy, I mean, think about it. A sling and five stones, but he only needed one. He defeated the most fiercest competitor that the Israelites have ever seen with one stone. He didn't even need his rod. He had one. He went out with the stone and, you know, and I mean, think about that. It was an impossible situation, but thank God that God's still doing an impossible situation. Think about Apostle Paul. I mean, he was left for dead. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was battered. He was bit by a snake, a deadly snake. You know what? But God kept doing impossible situations. So I don't care what you get yourself into. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care that it looks like there is no way out. God is repeating history in your life. And if he can do it for Daniel, and if he can do it for the Hebrew children, if he can do it for David, if he can do it for Paul, he can do it for you, because you know what? We're all his favorite. Doesn't matter whether you were Old Testament Christian or a New Testament Christian, or you don't even know what kind of Christian you are. You know, God still loves you. And when we face an impossible situation, quit saying it's impossible and say all things are possible. It's about whether I'm going to believe or whether I'm not going to believe. If I can believe, I shall receive. You know what? But so, you know, when things are tough, whenever I'm laying in my bed at home and no one's here shouting and jumping and running around, and the devil is thumping you on the head trying to tell you, you know what? You're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. I want you to know that your God is an impossible God. All things are possible. And all you have to do is believe him. All you have to do is know that you're not there by yourself, but Jesus is right on the inside of you, helping you, leading you, guiding you, showing you the way. And just like my grandfather always said, if God says that, I believe it, and that settles it. You know, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what somebody says. I don't care what brother so-and-so says, sister so-and-so says. I don't care if they're a Christian, non-Christian, un-Christian, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you know, or a collection agent. I don't care what anybody says. We serve a God that will get us through every situation if we'll believe. All we have to do is believe. Only believe. Only believe. Just believe God. But I want you to remember this. When everything is going wrong, I want you to remember. I want you to remember my voice. I want you to remember, you know, I want you to focus back on the Old Testament, you know, and all the things that God did throughout the Old Testament. All the people that were saved, and it seemed like an impossible situation. I mean, think of the children of Israel when they came, you know, to the Red Sea with the Egyptian army, you know, and that wasn't like some measly little army. It was like one of the greatest armies of the world at that time. They were coming toward them, and here they are. There's a big ocean. Everyone's crying and crying, you know, and you realize that you know, Moses stepped in and just held out his rod. And thank God that God acted, you know, and I've heard some people say, well, you know, they say that you may not know this, but I'm a certified scuba diver. I haven't scuba dove in a while. I used to go quite a bit. And I got this magazine that would come every month, the scuba diving magazine. And a lot of people would scuba dive in the Red Sea. It's one of the deepest areas ever. And scuba diving is a great place to scuba dive. And I've heard people say, well, you know, where they crossed, Craig, it was only like 3 feet of water. And I'm like, man, that's the biggest miracle ever. Because, I mean, the whole Egyptian army died in 3 feet of water. So any way you slice it, it comes up miracle. I mean, if it was 3 feet of water, bless God, 3 feet of water. And you realize that these horse and chariots, you know, they're way above 3 feet. So, I mean, you know, so that means God made all these horse and chariots, you know, all drown in 3 feet of water. Man, that's a miracle. Praise God. We have a miracle working God. So I don't care. So if that's the truth, if it was 3 feet of water, which I don't believe was 3 feet of water, because who cares? It doesn't matter. What matters is they got through and the other people didn't. All right? And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to make it through and other people might not. You know, I don't care. Maybe someone's chasing you. You know, hopefully not being chased, but you know, maybe you feel like someone's chasing you. You feel like, you feel like you can't get ahead. I mean, we've all been there. It seems like no matter what you do, you can't get ahead. You know what? But God is still with you. He's still for you. He's still helping you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He still loves you. And you're still his favorite. So act like it. Just believe. Amen? All we have to do is believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, right now that whenever they're facing their worst times, that they'll remember this message. They'll remember, I mean, we all know the scriptures. We've all read the scriptures. But Father God, help us not just read scriptures, but help us be a doer of God's word. Help us do the scriptures. Help us to understand that we can believe. Help us understand that things, when they look impossible, it doesn't matter how impossible they look, because you work the impossible. And help us not to lean to our own understanding, but help us to trust you with all our heart. And Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know your Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without coming and knowing him. So if you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus, my Lord and Savior, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you right now. If you don't know Jesus, or maybe you're here and say, Craig, man, I one time I knew Jesus, but I kind of walked away. I'm trying to turn my back, but I want to rededicate my life to God tonight. If that's you, just lift your hand. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. But you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I've never had that experience. And I want to tonight. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here that's not saved, not a child of God, we thank you, Father, for every day sending laborers across their path. And we thank you, Father, that they will be saved. And we just give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, is there anyone here that needs healing in their body? You know, we believe in healing. Amen. And one way, not the only way, but one way God heals is the laying on of hands. So if you need healing, I want to lay hands on you. And God's going to heal you. Anyone need healing? If you need healing, come down here. Amen. Everyone's well. That's great. Right? Everyone well. But if you need healing, you come on down. Amen. Because I want to make sure that you're well. Amen. There's a gentleman coming down. Now, he broke the ice. Because, see, sometimes people are waiting for somebody else to come down because they're afraid to be the first one. You know what? But I'm going to tell you, if you're sick, get down here. Because you know what? It's no fun to be sick. It's no fun. I tell you what, if you got one of that flu when you're throwing up, and I know, you know, it's not a good time. So get down here, amen? Amen. I'm not the healer, but Jesus is, amen? What I'm going to do, I'm going to lay my hands upon your head. I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't matter what I say, because when I do, you're going to feel the power of God hit you. And as soon as you do that, I want you to say, it's mine. I have it now. I want you to ask you to close your eyes, lift both hands toward heaven, and just think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God. And we thank you, Father, right now as we lay hands upon him. We thank you, Father, that that power of God will flow through him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you, Father, for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, that's it right there. That's it right there. In the name of Jesus, be healed now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We command this body to be well. We command this body to be whole. That's it right there. It's all over you, brother. It's all over you. Just let God. Just let go and let God. Just let go and let God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, we have a prayer cloth right here. Someone brought it. They need healing. So their stepmom's in ICU for a stroke and asking for restoration of memory. Amen. Let's just stretch your hands out toward the cloth. Father God, we thank you right now for this precious woman. And we thank you, Father, that you're touching her body, that you're healing her right now. And whatever damage this stroke caused, we command it to be reversed. And we command this body to be completely well and this memory to come back. We thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus as we pray. We thank you, Father, that it will happen. We thank you, Father, for wonderful testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be at that door, shake your hand. If you don't want to shake my hand, you can go out that door, all right? Don't forget, you know, right back here, 6 o'clock next week. You have any more announcements? Oh. All right. Someone lost his Bible. We have here. Also, if you're a first-time visitor, we have some people who are going to give you a gift, and they have for you. And if this your Bible is yours, I'm going to set it right here. You can come and get it. All right. But if you're a first-time visitor, you can go over there, Jeff, and welcome them or whatever. Amen. Well, praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Don't forget that all you have to do is believe. Amen. No matter how bad it seems. All right. God bless you.